So when I say the word surrender, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Don't just think about it in the context of faith, but think about the word surrender. What's the first thing that comes to mind? You can talk now too, y'all. Give up. Give in. Putting your hands up. Okay. Yeah. I think we often have this idea that surrender means giving up. But surrendering to God, I would submit, isn't about giving up or quitting. Surrendering may seem like the easy way out, ceasing to fight. But when we're speaking about surrendering to God, it really means something else. Truly, surrendering may be more difficult than continuing to seek our own way. You heard earlier in the service scriptures of surrender, this idea of giving up our lives, of submitting to God. And all of them had to say that if we don't do that, we gain our lives only to lose them, or we submit ourselves to the devil, or there's always a consequence to each of those scriptures that we read earlier. When we don't submit, we remain in death rather than life. I think in our lives, we don't make progress, we don't win, because we haven't surrendered. We haven't given up. We're still giving orders, interfering with God's work. I know this is a surprise to a lot of you, but I'm a little bit of a control freak. Okay, the youth are having stunned faces as if they don't believe me, right? Thanks, guys. It's dangerous having them on the front row here. I'm going to look this way for the rest of the service. So I am preaching to myself today, and hopefully there will be something in it for you as well. Somehow, we in the church have given this impression that following Christ means we have a moment of surrender, of submission, of calling Jesus our Lord and Savior, and then we go on about our lives the best we can. But true Christianity, truly being a follower of Christ, requires more. It requires complete surrender, letting go of our plans and accepting God's. It means that we give everything we have and everything we are to God, that we dare to believe that the one who created us can live powerfully through our surrendered lives. And this kind of surrender doesn't just happen in a moment, in an instant. It requires lifelong submission, a daily agreement with God that you will let go and allow God to work through your life. C.S. Lewis, who is one of my favorite theologians, in his book Mere Christianity, says this: keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him, everything else thrown in. So, what must we surrender? The answer is pretty simple and very complicated. Everything. Everything? What kind of God asks for that? And if we do surrender, what's God going to do with us? Sometimes I think it's that fear that keeps us from surrendering. If I give in to God, he's going to make me do something I don't want to do. Most of us give God a half-hearted version, mediocre sacrifice. And we live half-hearted, mediocre lives because of that. Our scripture today that Betsy read for us is this story about a woman, we don't even know her name, who risks everything and gives up everything because she wants to honor Christ. So she sneaks into a dinner party, and she's carrying a rare expensive perfume, like lifetime worth of earning perfume, in a beautiful jar, an alabaster jar. Alabaster was very rare, and it was passed down. If your family happened to have something made of alabaster, that was passed down as a family heirloom. And here we see her bringing maybe all that she had, certainly the most valuable thing that she had, and risking her reputation. She was an unnamed woman who came into a stranger's house and interrupted Jesus when he was there with other men. Her reputation was shot at that point. And then she broke open this valuable jar and poured it on Jesus. Pure, rare, precious. Her devotion was just like that nard, that perfume, an act of joyful surrender. Are you like that? Are you more like the disciples in this story who remind me of, I'm a big fan of the Muppets, and two of my favorite characters are the grumpy old critics that sit up in the balcony and complain about everything that's going on below them. I enjoy some good sarcasm, and they're experts at that. But in this case, I feel like the disciples are those grumpy old critics. They're saying, what a waste. She should have sold that and helped the poor. I really don't think they were that concerned about the poor. They just didn't like what this woman had done. They're not venturing out with passionate faith. These disciples who had been with Jesus, who had followed him, who knew who he was, were unhappy with the complete surrender of this woman. They don't venture out with a passionate faith, with complete surrender, but they're experts at critiquing others who are risking it all for the journey. Sometimes I think we may relate more to the disciples than to this woman who surrendered all. So if we're to surrender everything, what exactly is everything? Well, one of the things we have to surrender is our troubles, our worries, the things that keep us awake at night. We have to completely rely on God to deal with them. To say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you because I can't handle it and you're not asking me to. I think if you're like me, you're pretty good at that late at night, but then you wake up in the morning and you say, okay, God, can I have it back now? I got this. Not what he asked from us. He wants us to completely lay those things on him. And while we hold on to these things that bring us pain, I don't know, but for some of us, worries and troubles are the thing that we're not able to surrender. We don't have quite enough faith that God is going to take care of it. We also, if we're going to give God everything, have to give him the things and the people we love. That's really two different levels of surrender, right? We have to be willing not to be so focused on stuff. And I've got to tell you, based on how much stuff we put into that house for the mission garage sale every 6 months, we all have a problem with stuff in our lives because we fill it every 6 months and then fill it again with our stuff. I spent yesterday touring some tiny houses in Floyd. All of them were 300 square feet or less. There's a family of four living in 168 square feet. Y'all, that is small. And what it did make me think about was how they've had to give up a lot of stuff in order to live in those homes, and they all have different reasons for living there. Some of them want to be debt-free, and so they're living in the space they can afford for now, until they can afford a bigger space. Some of them are living there permanently because they like the simplicity of it. Some of them are in their homes because I think they just don't like people very much and there's no room for people in there. But whatever their reason, they have figured out this piece of surrender, of not being tied into having lots of things. And all of us who are in this room have lots of things that we don't need, even if it feels like we don't have much. I think even harder than giving up the things we love may be giving the people we love to God. knowing that the lives of the people we hold dear are dear to Christ as well. And we have to give those relationships over to Him and not try and hold on and protect or not allow Him to work through us in those relationships. Before we can give up those things, we have to give up our hearts, our lives. You heard the call for this over and over again in those scriptures we read earlier. Deny yourself, give yourself completely to God, surrender. Surrender's hard. We want to be in control. We want to think we can do it. Everything about our American culture is about independence and doing it on our own, pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. Maybe American culture, but it's about as anti-Christian, anti-Christ as you can be. We're not called to do anything on our own. We're called to surrender and let Christ do it through us. Surrender's hard. But if we want to live the full lives that are promised by Jesus, it's necessary. Yeah, this has been kind of a downer of a sermon so far. But I want to tell you there is some good news in this. And that is that we have this idea, I think, that surrender leads to slavery, to pain, to sorrow, to loss of control. And it's because we forget to whom we're surrendering. Most of us have a picture of surrender that's similar maybe to the movie The Fugitive. It's an older movie with one of my favorite actors, Harrison Ford. He plays Dr. Richard Kimball. He's a man who has been sentenced, falsely sentenced, for killing his wife. He didn't do it. And so when a prison bus wrecks, he escapes. He's on his way to prison after being sentenced, and he escapes and runs. He wants to find out who is really responsible. And so he flees. The whole movie is about him fleeing from Tommy Lee Jones' character, who is a U.S. Marshal. And there's this one point in the movie where Jones has caught up with Ford's character, and he says, "You're surrounded, and there's no way out. Put your hands up, get on your knees, and give up." I feel like that's how many of us picture God sometimes. A cosmic policeman waiting for us to break the rules, demanding that we give up. And so, with our heads down in shame and our hands clenched in anger, we give up. But the truth is that instead, we're turning our lives over to the one who loves us very much. We're following the example of Jesus, who surrendered fully to God. Remember, just before Jesus dies, right before he's arrested, he goes with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he leaves them and he goes to pray, and he is in anguish because he doesn't want to be crucified. But he says, "I don't want this to happen, God. And if there's any other way, can you make that happen instead? But if this is what you want, let it be." We're surrendering to one who loves us that much. And surrender, true surrender to God, flows from love, from knowing that God loves us completely and wants only the best for us. Here's the good news. True surrender is the most freeing thing you can experience. True surrender leads to joy. Laying down what we want to protect or afraid of losing or terrified we'll never have isn't the same thing as losing those things. It's surrendering them. It's opening up our clenched hand around them where we're holding them so tightly and saying, "God, here they are." Giving God access to those things, to our hearts. It's actually saying yes to God for them. Yes to His plan. Yes to His way. It's believing that just as his ways are higher than the heavens are above the earth, his way for the things we fear is higher. This God that we worship is a God of life, of goodness. He's the God of the resurrection. So when we lay down our fear, when we lay down our control, we pick up Jesus. He's the only way that we can live beyond the fear. He is the way. I was thinking and reading about surrender this week in preparation for the sermon, and I came across a poem by a Middle Eastern poet, Hafiz, and the name of it is called Tripping Over Joy. And I thought the imagery he uses to describe surrender is beautiful. Here's the poem. What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made such a fantastic move that the saint is now continually tripping over joy and bursting out in laughter, saying, "I surrender." Whereas, my dear, I am afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves. I love that imagery. God is in control. And when we think that we are in control and continue to try and move life the way we want life to be moved, continue to worry about things that we have no control over in the first place, continue to be sorrowful and angry and all of the things that come from wanting to have control, we're struggling against something that's already happened. God's already won. And in such an amazing way that it should just make us laugh with the joy of what has happened. We began the service today with a song and about and symbols of surrender with white flags. And as we rehearsed, I was telling the girls, remember, you need to smile. I say that a lot when we're rehearsing, but in this song especially, because it's a joyful song. It sounds like this war song, but if you really listen to those words, this is a song of joy. We raise our white flag. We surrender all to you. The war is over. We don't have to fight anymore. Love has come. Love is already won. And in our surrender, we're acknowledging that love. As you came into worship today, you got a white flag. At least I hope you did. If you didn't, we have some more for you. I want you to hold that flag now. And I want you to think about what God is asking you to surrender. What do you need to give over to God? Going to allow us a little bit of time for you to pray and talk to God about that. And then we're going to begin singing, "I Surrender All." And we're making those words our closing prayer as we sing. If you don't think that you're ready to surrender all to Jesus, just keep praying. Don't sing the words you don't mean. Hold that flag and let's surrender. Not giving up. It's not about quitting. It's about moving forward and winning by surrendering. Let's take some time now to pray.